Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Everybody, and welcome to Once Upon episode 95. I'm Brittany, and tonight we're going to talk about Once Upon a Time season 6 episode 2, A Bitter Drought. And tonight I'm joined by Kristen, whose birthday it is, and Laura. Hi guys.
Hi. And thanks.
Yes, I can hear the masses cheering that it is your birthday. If you want to get in touch with us and wish Kristen a happy belated birthday, you can talk to us on Twitter at Onceable, or comment on this post on Hypeable.com, or really any of the Once Upon a Time posts on Hypeable.com. I look at them all. Let's get started with a quick thumbs up, thumbs down for episode 2 of season 6. Let's start with Kristen. What do you think?
I mean, there wasn't anything, like, downright offensive about this episode, but it also didn't thrill me, so I'm gonna say thumb sideways. Like, I wasn't impressed, but I wasn't, like, upset either.
All right, and Laura, how about you?
Yeah, I'd say I'm very much on the same level with that. Yeah, I just felt like it was a lot of, okay, we're setting things up for, you know, further on in the season. So I was good with it. I would like to see more. There were some things like I really liked about it. I really enjoyed the Evil Queen being back. So yeah, I just really kind of want to see where it's all going.
I'm going to give it a thumbs up. I really, really enjoyed it. And I don't know if it was because I'm still so let down by everything else, but I really liked it. I have nothing but good things to say about Lana playing the Evil Queen. She makes my heart melt because she just looks like she's having the best time.
And, can I just say her hair is just like epic again? Like, I did a post, I guess, maybe like 2 years ago about like ode to the Evil Queen's hair. I love that Evil Queen crazy hair is back. I don't know if I'm the only one who's slightly obsessive with the crazy Regina hairdos, but I kind of adore the hair game being back, and that she was just like rocking like this modified beehive a la Hairspray. I was like, yes, she's got cool hair again. I was very excited about this.
Yeah, she does know how to rock a great hairpiece. And why don't you kick us off with your favorite line, Laura?
Oh, okay, sure. So my favorite line was, being vulnerable isn't exactly your strong suit, which was Hook. I don't usually quote Hook, but I felt like I liked that because I thought it really sums up Emma really, really well. And that Emma is very much kind of the control freak who like has very high defensive walls. And I think a lot of this episode was about Emma opening up to people and trusting other people and not having to take so much on her shoulders. And I think a lot of people in real life do that. So I kind of like when the quotes from Once Upon a Time not only apply to a character, but I think can just sort of apply to people in general. And I felt like that's probably a good quote for a lot of people, that being vulnerable isn't exactly their strong suit. And maybe it's something everybody's got to work on.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it was such like a one-off line. Like, it was really quick. And I'm glad you caught it, because I did also really appreciate that line. And Kristen, what was your favorite line?
Mine came from Selena. And it was when she kind of showed up at the accident scene by the town line. And she says, you know, I'll never understand why you parade around in these death traps rather than just magicking yourself around town. I've always kind of thought the same thing. Like, why does Regina ever get in a car? Like, she can just poof and be wherever she needs to be. Like, it's just so much easier. And so it just made me giggle.
Yeah, I'm always wondering why Emma doesn't try to figure out how to do that. She has magic.
Yeah, so but, much faster.
But we can't give up the bug.
Right. Yeah, she could still use it for road trips. Exactly. I'm sure you can't poof too long of a distance.
My favorite line was from the Evil Queen, and it was right after the count had died, and she says to Regina, it's really hard, even when writing about Once Upon a Time Now, to be like, Evil Queen Regina, Evil Queen Regina, and just, like, keep that distinction in my mind.
Right. Yeah.
And so the Evil Queen is talking to Regina, and she's basically saying how no one is going to get their happy endings. And she just says in, like, this, like, sing-songy little tone, she's just like, I'll just sit back and relax while you tear yourselves apart. And she has, like, this little dance before she goes away. And it's so evil and so good. And I loved it. In this episode, we get to meet a character who comes in from the Land of Untold Stories, and we also get his backstory, and it's the Count of Monte Cristo. And this is a character who I thought was going to be sticking around for quite a while, but he turned out to be a one-and-done character. And I just kind of wanted to know what you guys knew about the Count of Monte Cristo beforehand, because I didn't know anything beyond what I read on his Wikipedia page. I never read this story or anything like that. And what did you think of Once Upon a Time's take on this guy?
I really liked it. I mean, I knew the Count of Monte Cristo story. Like, I'm very familiar with it. I really like, there's a great movie with a very young Henry Cavill actually playing one of the characters in it. And there's, like, a really good, like, classic Hollywood movie about it. So I kind of like the story, actually. I like all the Alexandre Dumas kind of things, Three Musketeers and everything like that. So I was actually, like, fairly excited to see where this storyline went with it. I also wasn't, like, hyper possessive about the character. I kind of like that. I feel like, I mean, the story was basically written and set in the 1800s. And I feel like when you're dealing with characters and history that's made up history, that's like over 100 years ago, I'm a little more forgiving and don't mind that being on Once Upon a Time versus, like, it bugs me when more modern stuff is on. Like, I didn't like it when they did that whole One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Nurse Ratched and thing. Like, I wasn't like a fan of that. But I was kind of cool with having the Count of Monte Cristo on, and they definitely had, like, some key elements of that traditional story there.
I, on the other hand, know just about nothing about the Count of Monte Cristo. I knew that it was kind of like a Three Musketeers-esque story. Like, I knew it kind of takes place in that same world and time period. But honestly, I didn't really know his story or anything about it. So I don't know where it deviated or any of that. I did find him interesting. I liked what went down between him and Regina and how everything happened. That was all interesting and cool, but I didn't really have any sort of association with him, really. So he was just a guy for me.
Yeah, I did like that they kind of compacted his entire backstory into, like, 2 minutes when he shows up at the ball and, like, gives this beautiful speech that kind of sums up everything that's been happening in his life and why he's there now. And then you have Regina, or the Evil Queen, sitting in the background, and she kind of introduces herself into his story. And I thought that that was just a good way to give a little bit of history, get this character in there, and then explain that Regina really only likes him because of how dedicated he is to running a 10-year, like, con in order to get his revenge.
Yeah. And, like, vendetta. But, like, in fairness, though, like, the Count of Monte Cristo was, like, seriously, legitimately wronged. You know, Regina basically had a 10-year-old accidentally mess up her life. Like, not for nothing, but, you know, I mean, for me, there's a huge difference between, Regina's basically been whining, you know, as the Evil Queen is basically whining because, you know, Child Snow wrecks her life versus the Count of Monte Cristo, like, was actually an adult, and there were adult men scheming to steal his fiance, to throw him in jail, to lock him up and throw away the key for a decade. Like, that was, like, to me, that's, like, yeah, seriously messed up versus, like, Regina. Like, I'm like, you know, maybe you could get over this a little better.
Yeah, my favorite part, I think, was that the fact that they did not bring up why Regina wanted him. like they didn't rehash that story to us again. It was completely one-sided on all of the count stuff. We didn't have to hear like, I was wrong. Did I do this? Or that? It was sort of like, hey, love your work. You want to come on this mission that everyone has been hearing about for 6 years and I don't need to tell them what it is again. And so I appreciated that Once Upon a Time has gotten the fact that they beat us over the head with this story.
Yeah, like we, Monte Cristo might not know why she wants these people hunted down, but we do, and he doesn't need to know. So thank you for not explaining it to us yet again.
Yeah, and once we get back to him showing up in Storybrooke, he comes in and he sees Henry, and Henry is all like, hey, what's your name? I'm going to check you out in my book and see if, like, you know, how your story's going, and he doesn't say anything. He just sort of leaves this invitation. And I really thought that that was a cool calling card and a great way to like really link both stories back to each other. And so he has this card that he leaves for Snow and David. And then Regina recognizes it and she's like, oh, I'm going to go deal with this. But this moment comes after she just stepped up in front of the entire diner and was like, listen, we need to band together and we can only truly succeed and find happiness and fix your stories and get happy endings if we trust each other and we work together. But as soon as something goes wrong where she thinks that, you know, it's going to put her in a dark light and it's going to make her continue to look bad and people aren't going to believe that she's trying to make up for anything she did in the past, she's like, no, I got it. I can do it myself. And that felt so weird in such a short amount of time for her to like not be trusting after all of these years. She's just very, it goes back to what you were saying with that line, Laura, about the vulnerability. Like Regina really also needs to work on this.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Although I feel like if you're going to compare Regina and Emma, I feel like Regina is, I feel like much further along her path than Emma is in that regard. They maybe are on equal terms with self-doubt, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think Regina's much further along than Emma, because Emma is sort of still at the beginning of her story, whereas Regina is really over the big hump of getting everybody to open up to her and her opening up to them, but still she has that little pocket of herself that she retreats into when something she knows is going to cast her back into that evil light. And she just wants to keep herself, maybe not even prove to everyone else, but prove to herself that she can get rid of everything that she's done. And even though she's not attached to the Evil Queen at this point, she's still having all of these insecurities about her past coming in and throwing off her course to being a good person. So the Count comes to Storybrooke and he's all distraught because his story starts to happen again. And we learn that the reason that he is miserable and unhappy is because when his story picks up, the handmaid who he was supposed to kill everyone, basically, at Regina's wish. And that included Snow, David, and their innocent handmaid, Charlotte, I believe her name was. He didn't want to take an innocent life. So even though he's all hell-bent on revenge and getting this list of people, he didn't think that any unnecessary lives needed to be taken. And so he decides to strike a deal with Rumpel in the basement of the castle. And basically what happens is he can take her into this land of untold stories, and basically everything gets put on pause in this world. And so if he takes her there, the poison will stop. Rumpel will not have this person in his way for his grand scheme, which we already know plays out because we've seen it 100 times. When he comes back to Storybrooke, Charlotte comes with him and instantly dies because the poison is coursing through her veins once again. So it made me think, who knows about this place? Because Rumpel clearly knows. And why didn't he go there or send people there more? Or maybe he did, and we just don't know how many people he sent there to put their stories on hold and how much destruction that's going to bring. My thought process was, who knows about this land of untold stories and how useful it would have been for many, many people to run away to? Did anyone else start to, like, question who had access to this place
Well, yeah, every time we get introduced to like a whole new land or a whole new world on the show, I start to wonder, like, they clearly didn't plan for this when the show started.
Yeah.
Like back in season one, there was no Land of Untold Stories. Now that we are in season six, we have a Land of Untold Stories. So, yeah, if you think back, it's like, wow, they could have used that to, you know, while you've got what, when Henry was put under the sleeping curse, they probably could have, you know, found a way to send him to that same land, or, you know, like there's a million reasons and times when maybe that could have been helpful to kind of pause time for a character while they search for a cure or search for an answer to a problem or whatever. So, yeah, it does kind of make you think, like, I wish they would have known about this the whole time.
Yeah, it's a little deus ex machina every now and then. You know, it's a little, yeah, I agree. You can tell. For me, it's like twofold. Like, at the same time, I'm really kind of happy that it seems like they're almost doing this somewhat to bring back those characters. Like last year, I know I was very frequently, or even the last 2 years, I was very frequently on about, you know, we've introduced all these amazing characters. And as you use the phrase, Brittany, one and done, you know, we're never going to see them again. I love, like, with the preview, like it's showing like Cinderella is coming back next week and stuff. So I feel like what this Untold Stories thing has done is now opening it up to letting us go back to those characters that we really liked and didn't see enough of. And now it's letting us kind of have that. But I would say it is kind of clunky how they've managed to introduce this.
Yeah, the introduction itself felt clunky, but now I think it does, like you were saying, Laura, open up a lot more stories, because next week we are getting a Cinderella story, and they're bringing the stepmother and stepsisters in. So clearly they were sent there for some reason,
right,
and their story is going to play out, which is interesting, but I'm hoping that it's not like we're running out of plot. We're going to do Cinderella this week. Who else in Storybrooke has a relative that we could have sent there and we can bring them back now? So they do, they walk a very tight rope, and so far I think it's okay. I liked the idea of introducing it now. I also liked the game that they introduced before the Count was sent to the Land of Untold Stories between the Evil Queen and Rumple in the Enchanted Forest, where it's student versus teacher, and, you know, Regina is saying, like, oh, Rumple, I know you have a spell on Snow and David, so I can't kill them, so I contracted someone else, and then Rumple then puts a spell on him, and then Regina can't hurt him, and all this stuff. So it's like they're playing back and forth, and it really feeds into Once Upon a Time's whole, we know we've created too many problems by going back in time so many times, and this is a result of that, where it's like, oh, I know what you're going to do, and I know what you're going to do. And I took that as being a funny thing. But then they took it one step further in present day, where the Evil Queen, who is a part, a living, breathing part of Regina, has a thing for getting with Rumpelstiltskin, and I don't know how to feel about it. I'm, like, really into it, but also don't ever want to see it again.
I think we can all just do the collective, ew! Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I loved it so much.
I mean, if I didn't hate Rumple so much, I think it would be a little more just funny and, you know, as you said, like, it's kind of, it's so wrong. It's hysterical. Like you're watching it and you're like, this is almost cringeworthy, but it is kind of funny. And watching it from the Enchanted Forest and remembering all of the history between these two characters, like there's a lot there to play with, but Rumple's just so awful. I just can't.
I know. He has been such a horrible character that I don't want it to happen, but having that reminder of him in the Enchanted Forest and being that Rumple and knowing that, like, obviously she would be drawn to something in him in that moment
because, oh yeah,
you know, they're both working towards these evilly grand schemes and creating curses and it's fun and whatever, but then to see it, that latent, like, desire still, like, come out a little bit in present day, I was like, oh, this is going somewhere, I don't know what's happening.
Right. It is. Yeah, there's definitely an ew moment there without question. Yeah, definitely.
I hate it, but I love it. Another thing that happens, and it's a pretty big moment, and I'm wondering how they're going to deal with it, and I wonder if you guys have any idea, is Regina, without the Evil Queen, kills someone. And
oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm just curious what you guys felt in that moment, because on the one hand, I was very much on Henry's side, like, you had no choice, you had to do it, but on the other hand, like, now this opens up a whole can of worms for Regina to deal with.
I think I definitely fell more on Henry's side. Like, there wasn't a way out of this one. She had, they nixed the calling Emma for help because the phone was enchanted. Like, they, the show went above and beyond to make sure that you knew she had no other option. There was no calling for help. Snow and Charming were down for the count. Henry is not a swordsmith and could not jump in and save the day. It was Regina or nobody. And at that point, she didn't have another option. It was either let the Charmings die, which would be tragic for a lot of people in Storybrooke, or take out Count of Monte Cristo. And so I really did feel like she didn't have a choice and that Henry was basically speaking the truth.
Yeah, I think that she didn't have a choice, but it also proves something that the Evil Queen is trying to get across, is that she can't ever really get rid of darkness completely, because even no matter how good of a person you are, there's going to be darkness in your life, whether you inflict it or someone inflicts it upon you. And there was the scene immediately following that where Snow and Emma are sitting across from Regina in the booth, and Snow and Emma are together and they're both wearing all white, and Regina's across from them and she is wearing black. I thought that was just, Once Upon a Time doesn't do brilliant cinematic shots, and that was so good. It just felt so good. It's always the family versus the outsider and the light versus the darkness, and it just looked so cool, and I was so proud of this little show for 6 years later doing something good. I was, like, applauding in my room.
Although I have to say, I was so distracted by Emma's shirt. Like, it was doing all kinds of weird things, and yeah.
Yeah,
well, like, I mean, for the pleating on the top, it was cool, but it just looked weird.
And for the past four seasons, she hasn't changed her clothes, so this is like a huge deal.
Right? You know, it's like, yeah,
those cream sweaters and the red jacket, and yeah,
red jacket, yeah. Well, I mean, at least it's better than Hook, who, like, seriously, we have only seen in other clothes once. Like, again, can we please? I know we all like him in leather, but can we please get him other clothes?
I know, he bought those clothes for the date, and I feel like he's really leaning on them.
Yeah, seriously. It's like, can we just get him something else to wear, please?
Like, I would kill to see the boy in a pastel-colored shirt.
Could you imagine?
Like, black and dark blue.
Like, how about flannel? Like, seriously, it's a flannel-y kind of town, you know? Like, would not flannel be fine?
He can borrow them from David. They're probably about the same size.
Yeah.
There you go. That would do it.
Or Robin.
Oh, I'm sure he left some. I'm sure he left some stuff there. Can you imagine
around?
Can you imagine that? What that would do to Regina to see Emma's current boyfriend and her boyfriend's old clothes?
Oh my God, that's just, that is so wrong on so many levels. Oh my God.
Let's skip ahead and talk about Hook actually a little bit more. He and Belle have a great conversation on the Jolly Roger when Belle is looking for somewhere to hide from her crazy ex-husband. And he's sort of saying, like, thank you for forgiving me, but I still have a lot of work to do in order to forgive myself for everything that I've done in my past. And Belle is openly admitting that she too is working towards, you know, forgiving herself for giving Rumple so many chances, though I don't think we're at the end of that story yet, unfortunately. And I'm just wondering what you guys think about their relationship, because they've had a very rocky relationship. They've tried to kill each other, Hook more than Belle, but, you know, it's not been the best, and I think the two of them could be really good for each other.
Yeah, like, it's one of those kind of odd couple friendships that could really work out and be really pleasant to watch. I would love to see them, like, get close as friends and just, you know, be there for each other while the rest of these people, you know, they're kind of outsiders. Like, Hook is with Emma, yes, but he wasn't always. And so as much as he's a part of the family, he also kind of isn't. So Belle is not a charming either. So to have the two of them have a friendship outside of the family, I think would be really, really satisfying just to have them have someone else to go to.
Yeah, plus Hook has a lot of dirt on Rumple that he can really twist Belle's mind to get her to see the bigger picture of the man that he's dealing with. You know, like, he's seen him do some pretty horrible things, including killing his love.
Like, when she starts to think about going back to him, he just, like, pulls out a flashcard, like, look at this bad thing Rumple did, and look at this bad thing Rumple did, and here's this, too. I'm reminding her of all of the horrible things that her husband
all he has to do is just be like, Mila.
Is responsible for.
Mila. Every time Mila. Like, oh, just... Rumple, Mila.
Yeah, right?
Seriously. Like a trigger word. And then another odd couple we have that we're dealing with before we jump into Emma's story is Zelina and the Evil Queen are in cahoots, but Zelina still seems a little hesitant to fully jump on board with the Evil Queen's plan. And I kind of get the feeling that she's keeping her in her back pocket, but not, she's not giving her over to Regina just yet, but she's also not giving her up. And is she pro Evil Queen sticking around? This is the sister I always wanted. Or is she working the Evil Queen in order to protect Regina in the long run?
I gotta say, I really don't know. I would like to think that Zelina is kind of turning over a new leaf. I think she's torn. I think at the moment, Zelina isn't 100% decided what she wants to do. It's almost like, you know, she was like mad at Regina because she exercised the, you know, the part of her that was most like Zelina, or Zelina felt was most like Zelina. And now it's like, be very careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. And I think Zelina now has what she said she wanted. And she's like, oh, maybe I don't want that. So I think she's confused now. Maybe that's it. I feel like Zelina is more confused than anything else. And I think she's just kind of playing it down the middle, because I think she's kind of confused.
See, she's one of those characters for me who always, she's keeping her options open. I think she wants to be on Regina's side of this thing. I think she wants to have her family and to have her sister. And despite all the things that have happened and, you know, her leaving Regina's house and all of that, I still think that deep down she's going to choose Regina. But right now, because this Evil Queen has a plan and the plan, you know, seems to be working, and I think she's keeping her options open in case this Evil Queen comes out on top, so she can just be like, yeah, I was on your side the whole time, and doesn't get stuck on the losing side again.
Yeah, from everything that we've gotten about Zelina thus far in the series, it's that she's a power play person. So we don't really have much of a personality with her, except that she does want family. And right now she has both sides of one person that both mean family to her. And she's looking for which one makes the most sense to her life. And I agree. I don't think she really knows right now. And for me, this is like one of the weaker parts of the Once Upon a Time season 6 arc, but I think we'll get more as we move along. One of the not so weak parts is Emma finally going to therapy and sharing her visions with Archie. So she's saying them out loud, something that Archie is encouraging. She says her biggest fear is that the person under the hood is the person who's not in her vision, and that's Regina. And she also kind of like skirts around the fact that she has a bigger personality issue going on. She's like, well, what does it mean if I'm not the savior anymore? And you know, my whole identity now is based on the fact that I'm a good person and I help people. And if I'm not helping people, then who am I? And so Archie's like, yeah, that's the issue we need to unpack. And she's like, no, no, no. We need to find out who's under the hood. So she has a long way to go in therapy, but it's a start. And what do you guys think about this whole vision thing and how it's guiding the season? Do you think that it is Regina under the hood, or is Emma putting her there in her mind?
I think Emma's putting her there. I think she's depending too much on the whole Regina's the one not in the picture. You know, she's depending on that being the reason Regina's in the hood. I think as things progress and Regina fights against the Evil Queen, you know, and things keep moving on this season, hopefully that will dissipate and you'll get other candidates. Like, I'm expecting for later episodes to put other candidates for the person under the hood in her mind for her to start thinking, like, it doesn't have to be Regina. And then she'll start to realize that it makes more sense for it to be someone else. I don't want it to be Regina. Maybe that's why. Like, it just would kill me if Regina ended up being the one that is supposedly going to kill Emma.
Yeah, I think we've brought Regina too far as a character, and to have her be the one to kill Emma would just be, it would be ridiculous. There was a comment on Hypeable on the recap of this episode that said that maybe the person under the hood is a version of Emma. And that made me think just now, actually, that maybe it's Aladdin under the hood, and it's like savior versus savior in a way, where...
Oh, that could work.
Because the biggest thing is that she's fighting this identity crisis, and maybe it's literally fighting an identity crisis, because Once Upon a Time could go there. So that's my two cents on who's under the hood.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, there are only four people in that vision besides the hooded creature and Emma. So if you think about all the people in Storybrooke, it could be a lot of people and a lot of things.
Like, we could until be bringing we back have... possessed Granny.
Right. I mean,
oh my God.
With the crossbow. Oh my God.
With the crossbow.
I would say, did we not just all adore that? I mean, you know, who doesn't love possessed Granny, you know?
Yeah, I think the options are too big right now to pin it on Regina yet. Emma might have gone there, but for us to assume it's her, I think it's a little bit of a stretch yet.
Yeah, one thing that's not a stretch, though, is that going into next week and probably a few weeks after, is that the Evil Queen knows a lot of what's actually happened in people's stories and has a lot of bargaining tools at her disposal. And the first one that she's going to cash in on is David, and the fact that maybe his father's drunken cart accident wasn't so much an accident, and that David still has some stuff in his past that he needs to confront. And that's really sad, because David looked so angry and hurt. And
well,
I don't
now,
like
here's
David's
the thing.
Hurt.
I felt like she was just pulling it out of her backside. Is like, is that just me when she said that? Or like, because of like David's first reaction was just like, yeah, whatever.
I wanted it to kind of be that way. And I wanted him to throw it aside. Like, it doesn't matter. It's in the past. This is just the Evil Queen being the Evil Queen. I need to not worry about this. It doesn't really matter. But he didn't. Like, by the end of that scene, you could see he was still stewing on it. And I'm like, no. I just watched an episode of Bones where Sweets, the psychologist, just did the same thing. And I'm like, don't listen to the crazy person. Like, the crazy person is trying to make you see things their way. Like, just don't give in to it. Like, fight it. And yeah, so I was basically thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I am rooting against David in this one. Don't fall for her little traps, because she's done it to you guys before.
Right. Like, I could see it being, this is just all part of her evil plan, mwahaha. I just, you know, I just wonder, are now people smart enough not, or part of me is like, so who's going to believe the lies of the Evil Queen? Like, clearly she'll obviously find people who legitimately have issues. Like, it certainly seems that Cinderella has been set up for possibly justifiable homicide, or I just feel like I'm just wondering, so who's going to believe the Evil Queen? You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe I'm being too altruistic about it, and people are going to be like, of course we're going to believe the Evil Queen.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a different story now that she's in Storybrooke. I feel like in the Enchanted Forest, before all of the curses, everyone would believe the Evil Queen no matter what she said because she was that force.
Right.
But now that we've taken her out of there, where's that line? I feel like maybe in David's case specifically, it's the fact that she had something physical, that coin that she specifically got from Rumpel. She does have, like, a very involved history with him. I feel like if maybe she went to, like, not to harp on Granny, but if she went to Granny again and did something, Granny would be like, yeah, whatever, get out of my diner. We don't serve Monte Cristo sandwiches here because they're disgusting. And, you know...
Which I thought was hilarious, yeah, by the way.
I thought about that line and I'm like, I'm going to work that in somehow. But yeah, I do see what you're saying though, Laura, where how many times are people going to fall for her trickery? Then again, when is it not trickery and how much does she really know? That remains to be seen the rest of this season, I guess. And hopefully it's not overused where you have these characters who are just there to be these fountains of, oh, wait, I actually know a thing, or, oh, you can do this now, or, oh, I'm the apprentice, here's all the answers you need. Like, hopefully we don't have another season of that. All right, is there anything we missed or want to talk about? I think that pretty much sums it up. So, next week we're going to talk about episode 3, The Other Shoe, and this is a Cinderella-centric episode where we are going to meet her stepsisters and her stepmother. And we saw her, I think she had like a crossbow in the trailer. So Cinderella's going rogue and might take out some people. And yeah, we'll be back to talk all about that soon. So until then, I'm Brittany.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Laura.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.